This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Manchester United head down to London against league leaders Chelsea, sir. Get a big point. You know, almost had a smash and grab, but gave away a penalty. Hold it on the whole game, sir. Packed it in. Three CDMs played like it at times, but Jadon Sancho keeps his hot streak going. Carrick's probably last game as Manchester United manager before the new German. Showing up, sir. Our Klopp, Tuchel, Nagelsmann. What's his name, sir? Pronounce it for me.
Rangnick. Rangnick.
How many times am I going to mispronounce that over the coming six to 8 months?
Well, I'll tell you what. If he's going to be the Manchester United manager, we better get it right here. You heard it on the intro. It's been updated. Ole, sorry for smiling. He's on there. Shout out Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You did live on today through your number two, Michael Carrick, putting out as many defenders as possible, even putting Phil Jones on the bench. Look, at this point with Chelsea, it's almost a throwaway game. We had Maguire was out, a lot of different options. He came up with that lineup, sir, like I said to you on the couch. How could you come up with this lineup? You know, if there's no consequences and you're a Manchester United manager and you got like two or three games, you're going to put out that 11. I would not. I would have gone at him a little bit just because there's no consequences. Everyone's writing it off and you're going anyway. So, but look, hats off to him. Smash and grab played. I mean, first half was ugly. It was bend, don't break. I think De Gea saved us early. Could have been a different story going down early. We've seen it before, but whenever sort of we have those tight spots, we haven't been able to hold. This game we did, and then a foolish penalty to bring it back to 1 point. Regardless, it's a point gained, in my opinion, because I was thinking zero. We got one. Some other things went our way in the table. We have the Arsenal on Thursday. Interim manager coming in. Obviously, who knows? The work permit hasn't been sorted. It hasn't been official by Manchester United, so it's not 100 he's going to be at Arsenal. But Michael Carrick, I have to say, he's doing a decent job in the medium term here. You know, it doesn't necessarily look like he knows what he's doing. I don't agree with the starting 11s, but the results, it's a results-based business, and Carrick doing us a solid with knockout football in the Champions League and then picking up a big point at Stamford Bridge, sir. That is not easy.
So you weren't happy about the starting 11. Carrick, questions have been asked, you know, but you have to say the two games that he's had under his reign, one of which was going down to a tough Villarreal side, who's had our number, sir, and getting a big win there to secure, you know, the next stages of Champions League football. And then going down to London, tough ground. We all know it we didn't get a call all day, sir, because how many tactical fouls did they pull off today? The Chelsea scum against us, sir. They become a dirtiest team I've seen in that blue side since like Mourinho 07's team, like just dirty as they come. But a big point and a big result. And like you said, it wasn't pretty at times, but it was like a vintage smash and grab and should have been all 3 points. AWB unlucky. So they were always getting a pen. They're always getting a pen. They made the most of it. De Gea, even with his luck recently, wasn't going to bail us out. But big point, new era coming in. People are excited. Skeptics are having their say as well. We'll see, sir. Like, you know, it's a lot to turn around. There's a lot of egos in this team. It's not like turning a Schalke around. It's like, this is like a Manchester United full of superstars, and you need to like get them humming, running around, you know. Apparently he likes to sprint. Tell me more about his sprinting.
I look, at the end of the day, you know, you have to just say, take whatever you can get under Carrick, right? It was rough cut. Like, you lose to Watford 4-1, sir. Sorry for the chime. We got a virus protection alert on our laptop here. It's just one of those things where you just got to take what you can get under the interim manager, get to Rangnick, and then hope that he can sort of do something. There's a lot of games in December. The fixture schedule is unkind to a manager coming in trying to implement a new style. So I think even for him, it's going to be a challenge. Look, we can agree what he did in Germany is great. We can agree all the coaches that came up underneath his system, the intense pressing. I'm sure all Manchester United fans have been watching interviews and footage of those teams all week. We are just so thrilled. But he's going to come into pretty much two games a week. Not a lot of training sessions, if you really think about it. Going to need to rotate the squad a lot. Easier opposition, so how much can he realistically change during that time frame? So it's almost going to be treading water until you can get past this, you know, maybe past New Year's. It's going to be a lot for anyone coming in, and you know, obviously we're rooting him on, but you can't just hope that one night we're going to play Crystal Palace and then boom, we're going to be looking like RB Leipzig or vintage German hyper-pressing team, heavy metal football, call it what you want. I think it's going to take a little bit to turn this ocean tanker. Oh, by the way, some players are trying to leave in January. Other interesting things happening. So, sorry, this is Manchester United. It is a shit show. It's a shit show all around. We can jump up and down all we want that we got some guy who knows what he's doing. It's like, oh, newsflash, the board decided to hire a guy who knows how to build football teams.
Big deal. That was,
everyone's
that was
in the street
news.
Celebrating. Well, actually turning around a football team, that's very difficult to do, sir. It's a messy process, and we're going to see that play out. But I am excited from the perspective that if he is going to go upstairs, if he is going to do the job that Murtaugh is supposedly doing, maybe Murtaugh's job is to hire this guy and then take all the credit. I don't know what it is.
Which we find.
I don't think the board knows what it is. At the end of the day, he should be evaluating the talent, putting in the system of how United should be playing from the academy up through the first team, and he should be going upstairs and acquiring the players to play that way. Without that cohesion across the board, it will never work. And if the board doesn't listen to him, it will never work. So there's a lot of things here that are potentially exciting, but just like when the fans protested, they broke into the stadium against the Scouse Bastards, sir. They said, oh, we're going to build a new stadium. Oh, we're going to talk to the fans. Sir, show it to me. Talk is cheap when it comes to the board. All these spin zone in the press. You got to wait. You got to see it.
You got to see it. And you also got, like you said, it's like you learn about the man. What's exciting about the man? Actually, what's exciting about Ragnick is front office. Him in there being in charge of the football and philosophy, the overreaching kind of approach and how Manchester United goes about the football inside of operations. That's what you want to see in the near term. You know, you get the new coach bounce. We need that right now because right now we are floundering. This is not the best United side we've seen even in the recent tenure, right? With these players, we know how much better they can play. So have him come in. But like you said, it is very dependent on the Glazers actually listening to him because he's going to come in and see a lot of stuff that he doesn't like that they need to do differently. That they, like if we're actually going to embrace the change, they need to be open-minded about hearing what you've done wrong, what you can do differently, and how we can get better because that's the only way Manchester United is going to return to the pinnacles of Premier Sporting is by listening to really smart people. And he's a smart guy. We saw what he did at RB Leipzig. That's what got me excited about him back in the day. That's what's getting me excited now. Interim coaching, maybe he can just help us get through the season, get top four, maybe get a piece of silverware. But I want him to like help us find the next manager that will have this kind of extenuating, continuing football and philosophy from manager to manager because that's how it should be done. That's how it's done at RB Leipzig so successfully, is right. You have a continuation between managers. We've never had that at United in the modern era.
And that's exactly what it's all about in the modern game is that the entire front office, director of football, you know, whatever you want, head of sport, whatever you want to call it, basically knows how we're going to play. The manager knows how we're going to play. And everyone kind of follows that line. It's cultural within the club. It's cultural. And then it shows up on the pitch. And that's exactly what we need at Manchester United. It's been chop and change, managers with different philosophies. That philosophy has to be upstairs. Two predominant styles of play. You got the Klopp German gang impressing. You got the suffocating without the ball, which is the Pep Guardiola style. You're probably going to see that at Barcelona as well. There's different ways to play in the modern game. The way Ferguson used to play is not a way you play anymore. And you got to pick one of them. You got to go all in, and you have to have your front office all the way down to youth academy just absorbing that style. And you got to go for it, sir. Over the long time, over a decade, that is how you get back to the top. I think you have to pick one of those. You have to pick the man to do it. I do think he's the man to do it. The question is, will the board give him the runway to do it? Sir, we got a lot to talk about. Interim. We got an interim. Rangnick on the way.
Big games. Chelsea, Arsenal. I mean, this is a big breakdown recap. Today could have gotten along worse. De Gea. Where is it, sir? Where is
David De Gea has saved us.
David De Gea has saved us.
How many games have we said so this season, this being one of them, sir, this game could have been ugly early?
Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils and you want to support independent fan content, we do not have any sponsors on this podcast so that you can just hear that biased fan take from the couch. You're not interrupted with anything. The best way to support us is via Patreon. Check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. The best thing about it is you get to support us directly and we don't have to bow to any sponsorships like Manchester United have to do with, you know, the great Cup of Noodles or Team Viewer, sir. I haven't seen the Team Viewer stock lately, but I'm sure it's cratering.
Not doing well.
You can support us via 4 tiers. We're giving you pin stickers, scarf shirts, you name it. Thanks to everyone who supports us to date. It's helpful keeping the lights on at the small time operation. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. We have some great merchandise on there. New hoodies in stock, shirts, hats, scarves, blankets, all, sir, it's all in Alex's garage. Absolute riot. Pick something up there. Another great way to support the podcast. You get something cool, represent United, represent the pod, and it supports us directly. We'll be doing a Cyber Monday sale, 25% off everything in the store, following up on our Black Friday sale. Keep Alex working hard in his garage. Please support the podcast. Grab a scarf. They look great. And again, another great way to support this small time operation. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
Speaking of ways to keep me busy sending free merch. And all you got to do is send a screenshot of a 5-star review on iTunes. Great way to support the pod. Send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. And I will personally send you some free Manchester United, American Red Devils merch straight to your door. Absolutely free. Great way to support the pod. Helps us get found organically, sir. Helps us talk about this storied franchise in distress, ups and downs. It's been a hell of a year. It's been a hell of a couple of months. This season already. We're not going to Hansa Franz.
No, I know.
We got a victory there.
For the record, we would literally be having these discussions even if this podcast didn't
exist. So, yeah. You want to anyway.
And by the way,
shut it down. During games, I'm shutting it down. I'm like, hey, save for the pod.
We would probably just be yelling at each other a lot more just because we just get a lot of passion. The pod helps us calm down. Hashtag pod therapy. Also, for the iTunes reviews, we recently had one come in from Norway. And yes, we will ship
anywhere.
Anywhere in the world. So anywhere you are, you leave a 5-star review on iTunes, screenshot, we will send you some stickers. Even packing in some shirts, maybe you name it. Please support the pod. That's all we got. Sir, let's break down this match. Chelsea 1, Manchester United 1 at the Bridge, sir. I mean, this game weighed heavy in our hearts today with the recent passing of our great friend, the Chelsea fan. It's just not the same. You know, I just don't think even watching United just regularly is the same without him. Just want to give him a big shout out. We're going to be remembering him. We're actually putting a plaque at Stamford Bridge in his name. I've been working with Chelsea Football Club to do that. They have been, unfortunately, sir, the front office there have been a class act helping with that. But, you know, it is kind of mixed emotions here for us today. I can't pull any punches. I got to tell you straight that this one was a little rough for us personally. But let's get into that lineup, sir. Starting 11. I didn't like it. Dayseys, world number one in net. Tellez, Bailly, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka on the right. Matic, Fred, McTominay, and then Bruno in a diamond midfield with two up top. Sancho, Rashford, sir. Defend, defend, defend. Hit him on the counter. Smash and grab.
And that's what I saw. I know you didn't like it. You know, I would have liked to see one more attacking midfielder in lieu of a Fred McTominay plus a Matic with cheese, right? That's like a double McFred with cheese, right? You put a Matic on top. That's like a whatever it is. It's double McFred. But whatever it was, wasn't my preferred 11. But I think when you saw it, when they came out and they walked out today, it kind of made sense because you lose Maguire, you lose Shaw, you lose some size. Matic and McTominay are units. They're pretty big guys. Chelsea's a big team, physical team. That kind of made sense to me. You know, when we started playing it, you're like, hey, you can't pass through the midfield like normal, like we never can when McFred are there. And we couldn't today because they pressed the shit out of us. So, hey, it didn't really help that much. You know, it helped a little bit while we're defending, but we were defending so much because the 11 kind of asked to be defending all the time because we could never get the ball forward.
Yeah, exactly. I really think the one thing to also think about is the Chelsea 11. You pointed it out. It's like this team could be gotten at. Like, why are we so afraid? I mean, like, yeah, look, top of the table, you know, they only conceded 4 goals, et cetera. But you look at that team, you can get at that Chelsea team. And I've always just, I found the more we shade defensive, It just like you said, there's holes. Like McTominay tracking back, it was tough. A lot of disorganization. Sometimes he dropped back in the center back line, didn't know if he should come out top of the box cover. The whole idea of like we're just generally disorganized at the back and adding more bodies there doesn't necessarily help. We saw that in the first 15 minutes, and I just felt like that would invite pressure from a Chelsea side that, you know, if they had someone other than Werner up there, they probably could have put us to the sword. So thank God Lukaku isn't fit, because Werner missed a few wide open opportunities. But look, Carrick, he's the man at the moment, and you know, right now you just got to let it play out, sir. First half, United come out, couldn't pass between the lines. You know, you put Fred, Matic, and McTominay out there, scrambled eggs. Second minute, Dave saves, back-to-back saves within 2 minutes. Chelsea cut us open too easily. Again, we look like we're already on the back foot right after the kickoff. But we did dig a little bit here. Kind of just turned to a messy affair. Wasn't pretty on either side. 31st minute, Rudiger hits the bar from 30 yards out. That was really the best opportunity. And, you know, you got to credit to Carrick. We turned into a slop shop at the bridge, and that benefits us because we're playing from the bottom. 41st minute, chance for Sancho's wasted. Couldn't control the ball over the top. So, look, Chelsea had a lot of the ball. They were asking questions. We were trying to hit him on the counter. Couldn't really do much there. So the first half, just get in, nil-nil. That's a win, sir, for United.
No, it was, because De Gea, he bails you out early. Team did not start strong. What's new? What's new? Yeah, what's new, pussycat? Whoa. It's always the same shit. We started out so slow, and we did today De Gea with massive saves. That was the most dangerous Chelsea looked in that first half. It was right in the opening, first 5 minutes. Rudiger has another chance. United with, like you said, it was all about the counter. That whole setup was all about the counter, Rashford and Sancho for speed. But because of that, you never held onto the ball. You allow them to just press you, and you pass it, give it away. When really, you should have just tried to pass to the middle with some players that know how to do that in between lines, like a Mata or a
Donny.
It's just
sloppy. You know, sloppy. The thing is,
sloppy Joe.
You go back to the days of like a team can dig in. John O'Shea, you know, these are players, you know, the scrappy players that can dig in away. And it's like United just haven't been able to do it. So again, the first half, I was happy that we ended up 0-0, sir.
Definitely.
It was the fact we didn't concede in the first 10 minutes. De Gea bailed us out. I said, all right, everything to play here in the second
still
half.
In it.
And
still
then
in
usually,
this game.
Usually when you bring on the subs, like Donny, you start opening it up, we look a little better, right? So United come out in the second half slightly more in control, sir. And then in the 50th minute, Jadon Sancho, something tells me we're going to see a lot more of him under Rangnick.
Rashford's back header. No nonsense from Bruno. Oh dear. Jorginho's had a nightmare. And he's clean through here. Sancho for Manchester United. His first Premier League goal. And the Chelsea captain can barely believe what has just happened.
It's almost like Arlo White doesn't want United to score. The lack of enthusiasm he has for Manchester United scoring compared to like the Scouse Bastards or any other team is like absolutely insane. Sir, you know what? You can complain about Arlo White all along, but I'm sure we're going to be hearing him a lot more.
Hopefully not. I thought NBC Sports was like getting moonlit, like in just over 30 days.
Just
sir, I want Sky straight up, no chaser. We actually did listen to Sky today with who was that? Carragher just yapping off. But hey, even Carragher with his biases, is 1,000 times better than Arlo White. That clip alone was painful. Well, great goal from Sancho. You know, he did look promising in areas, didn't get enough time to feature on the ball today, but like that was some Gangnam Press or whatever we want to call this.
I mean, that was like an error from Jorginho.
Yeah, but
I
error mean, made by high press, right? That's a forced error. So he made the most of it, nicked it off of him, still had plenty to do.
I don't know if that was good a press. It was just kind of like a high ball, high fly ball to right field. Jorginho fumbled and then they were on it. I mean, they did. They obviously were there for the counter. That's what they're there to do.
So what did Fred do to the ball when he got it at the 88th minute?
No, I understand. But I'm just saying that wasn't like that. That was an error that led to a great chance. The best part of it being Sancho absolutely like looks off Mendy like ice cold. Like for him to come in, everyone's saying, oh, he can't score. And then to pull that move where he faints and then Mendy bites and he just like slots it home. Like he is a player. Again, why Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not playing Jadon Sancho beyond me.
But also, look how fast he was on Jorginho, who's a player that, like, what, was going to get the fucking Ballon d'Or a couple weeks ago, sir. Messi got it. But all I'm saying is he has to put him under pressure where he's right there on his toes before he even has a second to think, right? Heavy touch. But even with a heavy touch, player of his caliber, called world class, right?
He's Messi did not win the Ballon d'Or, by
the way. I thought
he
just won it.
No. That's no. Has not been given out. Lewandowski is the one everyone thinks is going to get it.
Well, all I'm trying to say is, sir, is like he had a lot to do there. Good on Sancho. 2 goals, 2 games.
You're not a big Ballon d'Or guy.
I can't pronounce shit. I'm not going to be able to pronounce this new manager's name for at least 6 months.
Look, it's apparently it's Rangnick. So it's like I read it Rangnick.
Rangnick, right?
But it's like Rangyick. Okay, that's not how it's spelled, but that's how phonetically.
Is it Ralph or Rolf?
Ralph Rangnick. Ralph Rangnick. I'm getting it. You got to get it for the pod.
Ralph Rangnick.
You can put it on the soundboard so you don't have to say it. You can just hit a button.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
67th minute, sir. Unfortunately, we're not used to playing from the front against big opposition. When you're playing with a 1-goal lead away at the bridge, you can't make a mistake. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, it was rash. He's made a few rash decisions this season, led to a penalty, and the man that you're slating stepped up and finished it pretty coolly.
Jorginho for Chelsea scores beautifully. And the leaders are level again.
Enjoyed that a lot more than Santos' goal. You can hear it. You really enjoyed that one. Nice penalty. Good penalty. That's calm good as you like.
No, it's funny. If you just generally being fans of football, like I would say there's certain things that I follow more just by choice. And then Alex, like you're more into the transfer room muppetry. Like that's what you're always at reading the transfer rumors, sir. You've always been about that. And I definitely follow the Ballon d'Or closer than
big
you do.
Ballon d'Or guy.
No, I like to see the votes. I like to see why, who wins. And yeah, there's a lot of politics in the Ballon d'Or. I don't think.
So it's tomorrow. The day is tomorrow. Tomorrow's the award.
So yeah, I'll be watching that one. It also the award famously Ronaldo with the C. I mean, that's just a great one. 79th minute, sir. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, goal line block. I think he made up for this one. Just like Jorginho made the error, led to the goal, scored the penalty. Wan-Bissaka gave the penalty and then stopped. Sure
Werner,
to be goal
actually,
here.
Werner.
88th minute, Fred tries to chip the keeper with options open. Unbelievable. Like, Fred, what are you doing there? Again, he had a good game.
He had a very good game.
This is one of those where he should be thinking pass with options, and he's thinking the glory chip, sir. I would think you would maybe do the same there. 89th minute sub.
It's a Fred chip move. Like
it wasn't even close. It was like
he had Lingard.
He didn't even go over Mendy's head. It just like went right to his hands.
It reminded me of Welbeck.
Donnie
against Bayern Munich. Remember that 2014?
I know. Donnie for Bruno, and then 97th minute Rudiger almost wins, but blasted over the top. Also, Werner had a bunch of chances. He absolutely just completely scoffed.
He did. He had a couple.
Like that was a riot as well. Stats.
Speaking of riot, look at
this.
This
is where it gets tough, sir. 24 shots to our 3, 6 shots on target to our 2, 34% of the ball to their 66% of the ball. Again, when it comes to Carrick and Ole, you have to look at that roster and compare it to the Chelsea roster and be like, this team should be 50-50 fighting. And look, if we're going to give out credit for playing this negative and looking bad at times and getting a lucky chance from a bad touch from Jorginho and then celebrating that, you should really be honest with yourself and look at our squad and look at their squad on the day and be like, that should be fight night. We should be going at them. And under the Ole regime, we were always playing from the bottom, and Carrick seems to be taking that mantle as well, sir. So trying to give the glass half full, glass half empty take here, I just don't think we should be celebrating not getting a lot out of these great players. These are great players on Manchester United. Arguably, they should be going toe-to-toe and beating this Chelsea team, home or away. And I think we're celebrating mediocrity at the moment because this stat sheet is embarrassing that Manchester United have to play that way. Look at the wages that these players are on.
No, I don't think anyone's celebrating the point. I'm just happy not to lose today, you know, because everybody called it a foregone conclusion that we would lose. You have to say, of course, sir, play defensively. You didn't set yourself up in a position where you're going to dictate possession and really kind of control the tempo of the game. We could have with the players we have at our disposal, and you can argue like
yeah,
there's no better midfield. There's no better display of good coaching, the fact that Tuchel came in after what Fat Frank was trying to do and just like, you know, all of a sudden they're a world-class team. That shows coaching. Obviously, hopefully when we get some real top technical coaching into this team, we're going to see something new. But you have to be said, the amount of tactical fouls that happened today, when you're trying to counter CERN, all you have to do is tactically foul them and you're not giving out yellow cards. Like, that makes it impossible to play a counter-attacking game. And like, there has to be said that like, this was almost like a City vintage performance in the amount of tactical fouls that they were able to execute without any yellow card shown until like really the waning moments of the second half.
You complain about, I agree, but it's a...
Has to be said.
Like, City have exploited that to win titles.
They have, so at the and end Chelsea of the day, will too.
Like, if the league is not going to adjust it, sir, you got to just implement it. And like, that's what Chelsea are doing. They're doing what should he do? Because guess what? It works.
It
and
does
it wins
work.
You
it works.
Championships. So at the end of the day, it's something that we should be doing. And not whinging about, because it's part of the game. I think that there should be more yellows to discourage that. If there's a tactical foul on a break,
straight yellow
should be yellow. Match reaction during the months of November so far: Manchester United 17 have attempted the fewest shots in the Premier League while also facing the most opposition attempts. We've had 17 and we've like conceded 60 in the Premier League, and we played horrible sides. Unbelievable.
No, we did not. In November, we played pretty good sides.
Jaden Watford being one. Jaden Sancho, 21 years, 248 days, is the third youngest player to score for Manchester United at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League, following Paul Scholes, who did so in 1995, and Phil Neville in 1998. Sir, have you won the treble like Gary and Phil Neville, sir? Since the start of the 2018-19 season, this is the second time in 194 games across all competitions that Manchester United have started all three of Fred, McTominay, and Matic in the same 11. The last time we did it was a 1-1 draw versus Everton in March 2020.
There you go.
Sir, they really do a lot on the score sheet, those three together. Checking at the table, just because it's the hunt for top four, sir. We're in the interim situation. We got to be taking account of where we're at, what's going to be like when Rangnick comes in for top four. Right now, we are 5 off the mark. West Ham and Arsenal on 23 points. They're tied on points. West Ham with the goal differential, they have +8. So we have negative goal differential. I don't remember the last time I've ever seen that. -1 for Manchester United. In between us and them, Tottenham and Wolves. So I really like that company. I don't think, you look at Arteta, LOL, Moise, we're in it, right? So a big point, 5 points from fourth.
That is a big point.
This is what it's all about. Rangnick is going to come in, and he's going to have a shot. So, and we have, if you look at the fixtures coming up, easy opposition in December. I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be good vibes all around. This is what this team needs. This is almost like the start of a new season, sir. We're like less than 2 wins off the pace. Everything to play for. We get knockout stages. We don't have to worry about Hans and Franz. It's actually setting up perfectly for us to make a serious run at fourth. And I hope Rangnick does well, because I want him upstairs, sir. Yep. I want him doing what Murtaugh should be doing. I want him making these key decisions. Young, fast players, hungry players are going to play this ruthless system. Enough like slow back pass. We've been killed by the back pass. We talk about the side pass under LVG killed us. The back pass to Harry, to Lindelof.
Brutal. To De Gea.
To Shaw.
It's like AWB.
It's like that. I would say that we've been killed by the back pass.
And Rangnick does not like that, as you know, sir.
Exactly.
As we all know who've learned a lot about Rangnick, one thing that he has instilled is this 10-second rule. This idea that as soon as they get the ball turned over, they want to be scoring. Not even just like, they want to be having shots at target within 10 seconds of turning the ball over. He's even implemented like super loud clocks where you can hear the countdown. This guy's a full loon. We need a full loon. Because like you said in the intro, sir, we need to adapt a new footballing philosophy for the modern era. Right?
Exactly.
Fergie made a lot of different things work because he was just a pragmatist. He would win at all costs while trying to play attacking football, exciting football, right? And Rangnick wants that too, but like whatever it is, right now we need an identity that's beyond just the quote-unquote Manchester United away, which we know is exciting football, trust youth, entertainment. We get that, but it's about winning too, baby. It's about winning, winning, winning. That's the most important thing, because Manchester United is bred on success. So hopefully he starts winning because, like you said, if he wins, it will give him confidence. They'll let him like get his hands into other things around the footballing operations. They'll trust him if it results into top four, because it's all about the money, bro. If like the Glazers get top four because of Rangnick,
yeah, but he's
not
a manager.
Rangnick.
Here's the thing.
No, I know. Actually, he's better in the front office than management.
Here's ultimate, and I'll give Alex credit where credit is due. If you listen to this podcast, so we're on 300 and something episodes of this pod. You said it. Like, we need the RB Leipzig director of football. You called it like years ago that we needed him to come in to be our DOF. That was you actually picked Rangnick.
Not manager.
You picked Rangnick to be the DOF, sir. You knew about him building all these teams up. You said that we need him. Now, hysterically, his coaching tree, the Tuchel, the Klopp, and the Nagelsmann, we were in for, I don't think Tuchel ever, but we talked to Klopp. And we were in the mix with Nagelsmann. And so at the end of the day, we were looking for the managers that came out of his coaching tree. And we should have put Nagelsmann and then him as the director of football, right? Any serious footballing operation should be instilling Rangnick up top with like a Nagelsmann, someone who learned under him, and they both agree or can see eye to eye as the day-to-day manager. Now, clearly we stumbled into this by backing Ole for 3 years. And now we kind of need both. So we're getting kind of half manager, half director of football. But what better way for a director of football to evaluate the talent than to be in the locker room day in, day out?
I know. That's amazing.
So it actually is a genius appointment if you commit to it and do it right. And like I read, I think there's an article in The Guardian where Manchester United, it's always the Sir Alex Ferguson way. Sir Alex Ferguson way, we're always thinking about wingers and how we want to play. And actually, no, you got to bring in somebody who has their own style, knows what they want, and can implement that style. And that style is still exciting, attacking football, right? But he's the man to do it. So it's time for Manchester United to move on and create a new style of play, one that mirrors the modern game, one that can be successful, and that is successful in the modern game, sir, that can win Champions Leagues. You know, we've seen Tuchel, Klopp, these guys who learned under Rangnick win those titles with these types of teams. And if he can come in and be at United over the long haul, and the board can make smart decisions by empowering him to make smart decisions, which I doubt will happen. Like, I'm going to say the board will screw all this up.
Definitely.
They'll basically like probably won't back the guy who deserves to be backed. They backed Ole without the CV, who got Cardiff relegated and managed Molde. And then the guy who's like built clubs from nothing, they're going to literally just throw him by the wayside and just like go all in on Pochettino and try to make Pochettino Sir Alex Ferguson 2.0. I could totally see that happening because they don't want to shake up the organization. And when you don't have footballing men making footballing decisions like we currently do, it's going to be hard to change that. It's going to be hard to have Murtaugh concede his decision in making to Rangnick. It's going to be hard for Eddie to ever step down and give it to Richard Arnold. It's going to be hard for Richard Arnold not to want to be like Ed Woodward and sign these players and take the photo ops and not give credit to sort of the director of football or head of sport or whatever you want to call it. I just think there's this, you know, the board, the money, the business side isn't giving up the football side. And I think it always had to be split. The football side always needed to be independent. And that's really the fight at Manchester United. It isn't really about, is Rangnick the guy? It's like, he is the guy, but will the board give footballing operations independence and give it to football men? And I don't think they will. I just really don't think they will. And Ed Woodward didn't, the board haven't. So we'll see. Surprise me.
Yeah, it's like one good decision, but you have to make multiple good decisions. You have to like, okay, you brought him in, but like, okay, maybe he's the guy to do manager for 6 months, but don't be tempted by the fact that he gets the top four and maybe a piece of silverware. Like, all right, give him the manager job. No, he's a little bit older. He should be front office. He should help you pick the next Nagelsmann. Right, Nagelsmann's picked. He's at Bayern. He's staying there. Right, Tuchel's gone. Klopp's gone. Who's the next one? There's got to be another young German guy, same philosophy, on the tip of his toes, just ready to rock and roll and play at a big club. And he should be the godfather that's overseeing everything. But like, there are so many ways in which the Glazers can bundle this that I'm confident.
But they stumbled into this decision.
No, they did. Because they like, Murtaugh's like, this guy's smart. Hire this dude. Basically, that's
how it's gone down. Murtaugh shouldn't be there. He should be Murtaugh. You understand?
But you know what?
He should hire the coach. That's the whole point, is that Murtaugh shouldn't hire him as the coach. Rangnick should be the director of football, hiring the great young and upcoming coach and then signing the players so that we don't have to go through this whole, like, we signed all these old players we don't need, and now we got this coach that wants young players. And then it's like, we're in the same phase, but he's only here for 6 months, so we're not going to do anything he wants. So then, like, what's going to happen? Who knows? So round and round we go, another day in the life of Glazer FC. Hashtag Glazers out. Sir, we got a next match. We're going to make this decently abbreviated because we can get into the Rangnick news proper. And we're playing Arsenal, sir. Thursday, December 2nd, 12:15 Pacific, 3:15 Eastern. Holiday times are approaching, and that means lots of fixtures. Games won versus Arsenal 99, drawn 50, lost 85. First time we ever played them. Newton Heath versus Woolwich Arsenal. We drew in Division 2, 3-3, sir. 1894, hell of a long time ago. Boy, lots has happened in the meantime. Arsenal this season, up and down and all around. They beat Villa 3-1, beat Leeds 2-0, beat Leicester City 2-0. Beat Watford 1-0. Got smacked by Liverpool 4-0.
Like, I know something about
and
that.
They beat Newcastle United yesterday. So
beating teams, dude. They're on the up.
But still, I mean, we lost to Arsenal 5-0. Liverpool beat us 5-0. And, you know, we thought we were going to have our manager fired. They lose 4-0 and everything's fine. Interesting.
Well, they won those other games, right? We got beat up by Leicester. They beat Leicester. They beat Villa. We got beat by Villa. Watford. How'd that go?
So I mean, they maybe beat not Watford. Maybe not up and down all around. Maybe they're just playing well.
They're playing better than us.
Maybe they're just playing well, and I just haven't thought too much about Arsenal because I've been in the giant fog of firing our manager. Like,
it's just the fog of war, sir. The Glazer fog of war.
It permeates
your
they're
brain.
They're fifth at the moment. Yeah. So even though they're ahead playing well, they're. All right, you know, history on Arsenal, 1886, munitions workers at the Royal Arsenal and Woolwich founded the football club as Dial Square. And in 1913, after the destruction of their South London Stadium, the club crossed the city to Arsenal Stadium in Highbury, becoming the close neighbors of Tottenham Hotspur, creating the North London Derby. Interesting that Tottenham was there first. Arsenal was the first club from the south of England to join the Football League in 1893. Reaching the first division in 1904, sir. Herbert Chapman, who changed the fortunes of Arsenal forever, won the club its first silverware, and his legacy led the club to dominate the 1930s. He helped introduce the, I have no idea what that is, floodlights, shirt numbers. He had his shirt numbers and the white sleeves, which Arsenal still wear to this day. And Arsene Wenger is the longest surviving manager and has won the most trophies. He won a record 7 FA Cups, and his title-winning team set an English record for having the longest top flight unbeaten league run at 49 games between 2003 and 2004. Boy, are we never going to hear the end of that, a.k.a. the Invincible,
yeah,
sir.
I love it. I'll tell you what, Arsenal get more respect on NBC Sports than United do.
Arsenal
used to be good. They were good in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then they got cronkied, bro. They just got cronkied.
No, I know.
like Cronky took a dump on them.
I'll tell you what, though. I did work for Cronky Sports Enterprises in college.
How is that run?
In Colorado. They're not run too great. but here's the deal. Like, it's been a rough decade for them. They've been the butt of all jokes. Somehow we spent way more money, and we're even worse. You know, you see, Arsenal seem to be figuring it out. They seem to have backed Arteta at the right spot. They seem to be understanding what they're doing. Like, Josh Kroenke gave a 30-minute interview to Sky, which is just like no holes barred. Like, he basically took all the hard questions. Something like that I really appreciate. Like, something. Obviously, Josh Kroenke, Stan Kroenke's son, is probably going to be the face of the franchise interacting with the fans. He went to the fan forum. He says, we're never going to do the Super League again without consulting our fans. He didn't ever say we're not going to do it again, but he said, like, our fans are going to be involved in the decision. We're going to take the hard questions. You know, there was another tweet I sent out about Bayern Munich. Obviously, the way football teams are owned there are different, but fans having fan forums and having fans tell them things they don't want to hear. Like, we don't want Qatar sponsorships. You know, we want you guys to not be...
Yeah, the board doesn't like hearing that. Like, we don't like you taking money from people.
My point is, it's like, at the very least you could do is just hear what the angry mob has to say. You don't have to do anything. You just got to show up and, like, take it on the chin. But the Glazers are so cowardly, they won't even do that. So I will say that, like, of all the ribs we could say at the Kroenkes, they put Josh Kroenke out there, did an unfiltered, like, 40-minute interview with Sky. I watched it. It was refreshing. I'd love to see somebody like that. Like, hey, I'm the guy who's running this team. I'm the one who's working with these guys who are making the decisions. We're trying to get better. Like, at least say that. Like, the Glazers, like, Murtaugh's hiring a director of football guy? What's going on? It's all done behind closed doors and then spun in the press. Ed Woodward's not leaving. The way this club is, like, Ed Woodward won't just sit down with Sky Sports and do an interview. Like, hey, this is our plan. This is what we're trying to do. Like, sorry about the Super League. My bad. Like, sir, let's do this here. Like, you need to do
the
that.
Up. They're on the up.
You That's know? What I'm saying. There's United's a vibe about Arsenal.
Yeah, United's on the up in spite of ourselves. And you know what? They'll probably really get it when they pull out Arteta and put in Vieira. Because Vieira is the guy of the Arsenal lineage that has it, right? Like, he is chipping above his weight with Palace already. He's probably the guy to take over. But what you see is, like, they're very intent to turn around the public messaging around the family's influence on the club, which has been corrosive at best. But now, actually, in the last couple of years, like, they put footballing men in charge. And they're starting to get good players in. You know, they've had some good luck. So they're on the up. And you know what? Compared to everybody else, you know, the Glazers don't look like they're in great company.
Well,
like,
just
all the points you just brought up, it's just that, like, it doesn't make any sense. How are they going to just, like, figure out the whole Rangnick appointment? Are they going to do it smoothly and have
but
it all
But they're not going to communicate
it. They're going to screw it up, sir. They're going to screw it up because it's Woodward is still making decisions with Joel Glazer. And that's not a very competent two-teamer.
Well, I'm just saying there's a case study out there. And I don't like Arsenal, obviously. But just seeing the ownership, how they reacted to the fans being upset in the Super League and what they're committing to, I thought was very interesting, sir, as far as, like, how they're communicating and how obvious it is that they're trying to invest in the footballing, give the football guys independence, make those decisions. It just seems to me like the Kroenke has, like, figured out, okay, this is how England works versus the United States. United States, the billionaire sits in the box, and if you suck, you get the first pick, and if you win, then whatever. Yeah. And nobody really cares, and you make money no matter what, and you don't listen to fans, and they're not going to break down the doors of your stadium. It's just different here in the United States, the franchise model versus the UK. UK, you gotta actually, like, listen. That they look like someone who's trying to figure it out. United at the moment, sir. Well, who's going to take over for Ed Woodward? When is he going to leave? We'll see. Formation wise, Arteta sticking with a 4-4-1-1. Aubameyang up top, Odegaard at 10. Saka's been playing well out on the right. Smith Rowe on the left, sir. Ben White's come good, sir. You know, they're an easy side. This is an easy 11. I mean, you compare again, like, we're playing from the bottom no matter what, but you look at this 11, it's a joke. We should be smoking them, sir.
Well, if you play an exciting 11, like, if you don't play McFred, yeah, but if we play McFred, they're going to make us hurt because they're going to high press. It's going to have a hard time passing the ball, like every other game we've ever fucking watched where McFred plays, where it's not just counter, 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 sir. But if you did, like, Fred with Donnie and Bruno and Sancho and Ronaldo and Rashford, you could tear this team to shreds, but they're not going to do that. So, hey, Rangnick, he should be there by then, by Thursday. They're saying she wrapped up that, you know.
No, it's 50-50.
50-50? 50-50?
50-50.
50-50.
It has to do with Brexit. Like, if there was no Brexit, he'd be there.
There you go.
And because of the work permitting and obviously not being a part of the European Union, nobody knows, sir. It's 50-50 right now for him to be there Thursday. And obviously Carrick will be there. I think he'll be there either way because if Rangnick's there, he just might be a showpiece. I say, honestly, Carrick on the touchline, him in the stands. I think that's how you do it anyway because then you got Crystal Palace. I don't like the optics of him coming in right away and not having any influence and then being held responsible. I think you throw this away, you put this to Carrick, put him in the stands, and it's all good.
I think a lot of the assistants are going to stay because, you know, like I said, now that you have a proper footballing man coming in,
he's bringing his assistants.
Hold on a second. He will bring his assistants, of course, but he's going to have some of the crew we're going to hang out. And, like, I don't think that's the end of the world because at the end of the day, there is a clear footballing identity that is arriving at Manchester United within the coming weeks. And they just have to, like, now Carrick and Phelan, whoever hangs around, has to start saying what he wants them to say.
Why are they going to hang around? Why are they going to hang around?
Because Ed Woodward just they know about the team, sir.
Hold on. Ed Woodward just paid them deals. Ed Woodward just re-upped their deals. My point is the reason they're going to hang around is not because they're good. The reason they are going to hang around is because they're going to have to get paid no matter what. Because
Nick Phelan worked under Fergie. So, like, he actually has chops, sir. He's won titles. Yeah, he worked under Ole. He worked under Fergie. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like he is a competent assistant manager. Carrick and McKenna, maybe not, right? Because they don't have the tracker. So I think you have him come in. He'll figure out who he wants, who he trusts, and he'll also have his own boys come in, right? His killers, his Germans.
I don't think Rangnick's worried about who's there right now. I really don't think he's worried about the staff. Now, Ed Woodward might foist people on him. Yeah, I think that's possible. But he's not. You think he's going to be concerned about Michael Carrick when he comes in? He's going to be concerned about turning the team around. The problem is the contracts Ed Woodward just gave. You want to talk about a surefire way to get fired is Ed Woodward give you a new deal. 3 months later, you're fired. That's like every time you re-up somebody's deal, like they go to shit. Phil Jones, Chris Smalling.
Damn.
Like it's like, and then re-upped all Carrick and McKenna and Phelan, re-upped them all like a month ago. Unbelievable, sir. Injuries, Varane, Edison, Cavani, Greenwood, they're slipping. Now it says December 5th. Greenwood with COVID. Obviously, the muscle injuries for Varane and Cavani. Maguire is back. Pogba is hanging in Dubai. And Luke Shaw had a head injury. So, again, you obviously know the concussion. It looked like McTominay got hit pretty hard in the
pretty
head.
Hard.
He looks like a guy who gets a few concussions. Again, it's tough to see in the game. But Luke Shaw being out as long as he has isn't good for him, number one, eating the meat pies. Number two, just head injuries could take months at this point, and then to get back into full contact is very difficult. You lose fitness, etc. So a lot of injuries piling up, sir, given that. What is your lineup?
Sir, let's look at that lineup. I'm going to have Dave Stays in that. Who else? Well, number one, he's looking at these days. Back four, I'm doing AWB, Baye and Maguire, and I guess Telles with that head injury. I'm going to do Fred, Donny van de Beek, Bruno, adventurous midfield, and I'm going to do Rashford, Ronaldo, Sancho. Best front three we got, sir. Who you got?
I would say Dave Says, world number one in net. Wan-Bissaka, Baye, Lindelof, Telles, Fred Matic. I put Donny van de Beek, Bruno, Rashford, and Sancho doing the 4-1-2-1-2. I think we're going to see that again. And obviously Neville kind of saying that maybe Rangnick had influence over Carrick. Maybe he's talking to him and how he's playing. Interesting stuff. Who knows? Conspiracy theories at this point. Booking the bookies. United favorites -110. Draw +280. Arsenal to win +280, sir. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction for the Gunners?
Sir, United come out, big win at home, 2-0. Manchester United have Arsenal's number. About time. Play to win. Let's play to win.
I like 1-1. We've struggled with Arsenal in the past, sir. It's just the way it's been lately. The refs haven't been kind to us. I don't think we're going to have Rangnick at the wheel just yet. I think it'll be Carrick. I think we'll play defensive. Kind of doesn't invite a high-scoring, high-tempo game. I like to see high-scoring, high-tempo, but Carrick's not going to take a lot of risk, which makes sense, but I just think you're going to see more pragmatic play from United, and Arsenal are on the rise, so a draw wouldn't be the worst thing to then welcome Rangnick at Crystal Palace. Sir, let's get some news. Sir, United in the news. We've been yapping about it pretty much all pod. It's been like something about Manchester United and then all about Rangnick. Obviously, he's coming in. The Athletic reports, 63-year-old, seen as the godfather of modern coaching. We talked about the managers coming from his coaching tree. That's a popular term here in the States. We've tried to hire a few of them. Sir.
No success.
He was a significant success in the role of director of football. Did it for RB Salzburg and RB Leipzig. Sir, making them into real teams. Took Schalke to the Champions League semifinal. Just people say, oh, he haven't won a trophy, haven't won anything real. I mean, like, he is a club builder. I mean, he's taken teams from the second division to the Champions League. He's done it multiple times, done it in the front office. He did it as a manager as well. He's come in from the front office to manage. He's gone back to the front office. He's very flexible, knows how to play, has a great vision for the game, an innovator of the game in Germany, changed the way the German game is played. And now all the top coaches, you know, you see Germany, you're like, all right, respect. You look at top coaches around the world, sir. You know, obviously Pep is probably number one overall, pound for pound, but right behind him, you probably got Klopp, you probably got Tuchel at the moment, and then you got Nagelsmann, sir. Those three, and they're all related to the Rangnick coaching tree. So who better to bring in after the Cardiff Molde coaching tree of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer than this man?
Well, here's the thing. You know, you talk a lot about like some of the past experiences he's had. You know, I think when you really look at it as a manager, he's turned around some pretty dire situations. And at the moment, Manchester United's in a pretty dire situation. So actually, full crisis mode, he comes in and fixes shit. And we need someone to come in and fix shit because there's a lot of goodness here. There's a lot of badness here, a lot of bad habits, some bad egos that need to be gotten rid of. They need to be sent on their way. And then the good needs to be kind of like doubled down upon. There's a lot of good youth ready to rip through, take it to the next level. He has unbelievable eye for talent in terms of his acquisitions. We talked a lot about football and philosophy, his impact on all the coaches below him that have worked under him, which is also a good point, right? I love to hear his influence on helping us pick the next manager, right? He's like, I know he probably wants it because the profile, but like, I want him to help us pick the next manager, find the next Tuchel, the young up-and-coming German, Dutch, whoever it is, manager that just likes to play this type of football. But like I said, as long as United listens to this man and like takes takes, you know, some of the shots that he's going to come and say and be very honest with them. Here's the thing. Sometimes people don't like to hear that. Klinsmann, United States of America, I think, like, the U.S. powers that be got sick of hearing that, like, hey, you're not doing things right. Glazers, you know, they don't like to hear they're not doing things right.
So, yeah, wait,
so this could definitely go bad because he might come in and be like, well, you guys are doing this shit so wrong.
No, wait, so he's not going to do an exit interview saying everything's great?
Yeah, probably not. Like, I've never seen that before. Exactly. Sorry, you never seen that before? Chelsea do that? Probably not.
No, it's not like, and that's the whole issue with Manchester United is it's just like they're keeping up appearances. That like the Ed Woodward spin zone, that's all Eddie Woodward's really been worried about is the war of the press, the PR, everything. It's like, no, it's actually like, it's a meritocracy, sir. Management is a meritocracy. You know, you should look at your organization harshly internally. It doesn't have to be externally, but you should be setting goals, trying to be held accountable to those goals, trying to be held accountable to ultimately the fans. The fans are the people, the fans, the game, football, sir. That's what this team is about. It's not just selling cup noodles, and we've seen the struggle with that over the last decade. A lot of record revenues and a record drop in expectations for this great club. But, sir, who is Ralf Rangnick? Let's let the man discuss it himself. There are some great interviews. This is one from a coaching forum. He talks about what the coach's responsibility is. And, boy, do I like what he has to say.
Suppose Jürgen Klopp or myself or Julian Nagelsmann or Ralf Hasenhüttl had informed our players at 12 o'clock at midnight, we will meet in our training ground in 1 hour's time, and then we have a meeting in the locker room at 1 o'clock in the middle of the night, and then we play 2 times 15 minutes, 11 against 11, two teams. They would have played im Schlaf, as we say, by sleep or in this automatically high-speed pressing, counter-pressing, transitional football. Because it was in their hearts, in their brains, and in their veins. And in fact, if we are very honest, as football coaches that we all are in this room, what is the job of a football head coach or manager? To have a clear idea of how my team should play. This can be more the Pep Guardiola style, or the Diego Simeone style, or the Hansi Flick style, or the Jürgen Nagelsmann style, or the Jürgen Klopp style. Those are variations, different areas where Pep Guardiola is more the kind of coach who likes technical players, whereas Jürgen Klopp more likes the heavy metal band players, you know. But what they all have in common is that they exactly know how this kind of football they want to play, what it looks like. They have in their brains the video of the perfect game. They have it in their minds and on their minds. And the job of a football manager is to transform this idea of football into the heads, hearts, brains, veins of your players. This is what I tell motivation. Motivation for me is a transfer of belief, conviction, idea of football. The other things to have a good speech in front of the game, before the game, that you try to to inflame, to inspire the players. This has got nothing to do, in my opinion, with motivation. This is inspiration. But motivation is a transformation of my idea. But in order to do that, you need to be aware, what kind of football do you really want to play? And I'm not talking about a little bit of this, a little bit of that, maybe a little bit of that, a little bit of pressing. I mean, come on, what is a little bit of pressing? A little bit of pressing is like a little bit of pregnant.
I think we saw that a little bit of something, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think we've been living that game for a while, sir.
No, this is a clear identity, you know, a little bit of trying whatever, you know, figuring it out on the job. We talked about that a lot. Ole's learning on the job. And at this point, with the players that we have and just where we've been over the last 8 years, 80 years, 80 years plus, right now we need someone with a clear football identity. Rangnick has this. He's instilled this at other clubs. I think this is a perfect appointment if the board listens, if the board is open to change, if the board is willing to adopt his philosophies and bring that on and go full Fergie with Rangnick, that will be good for us. We just need to do something with conviction, with heart, and have it be an approach that filters in across the entire organization, whether it's the women's team or the academy or whatever. It's like we just have to do it all together and go for it, because talking about football, talking about the Premier League, sir, it is the purest form of capitalistic enterprise left in the world, like arguably. You know, I know there's like the nation state element of it, but at the end of the day, it's like you have to have really, really good people that are really, really smart, making good decisions all the time. And he's a smart guy that obviously knows what he's doing, but he will go to shit if we don't listen to him. So listen to him, challenge him, right? Build him up, put him in a position to succeed. But can the Glazers do that, sir? It's a big ask. Because just putting a guy in is one thing.
It's organizational change.
Yeah, of course.
It's roots.
It starts at the top.
It's pulling out the roots, right?
And that's the Glazers. The Glazers are the roots.
I mean, organizationally, I would say Ed Woodward, the last decade, has been... obviously, the Glazers appoint Ed Woodward, but that culture from the top is not going to change. And it'll be interesting to see when he decides to leave, because apparently he wants to stay so he can try to get credit for something.
This probably.
Hard to say. Look, then we have a bunch of stats we can compare Manchester United at the moment to Rangnick's side.
They press a lot. He likes to press.
Which is more importantly, in 21-22, league stats per game, tackles, Manchester United are 20th. Successful pressures, 19th in the league. Pressures in the final third, 17th in the league. Interceptions, 19th in the league. Recoveries, 19th in the league. Errors leading to opposition shots, 20th. Goals conceded, 18th. Sir, we are absolutely horrid at the moment. I think the key, you can say, okay, Rangnick did really well. He was basically RB first. RB was first in all those stats in 18-19, the last time he managed. But it's more important to focus on
how bad we are.
How bad we are.
This year?
Right. This year, we are so putrid that you literally read those stats, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense how we could be second in the league and do play generally well and then come or turn it around and be this horrid across all these statistics. And the question for me isn't like, okay, wow, he did really well with RB Leipzig and then now we're horrible and automatically he's going to come in and we're going to be good. Is how much can he change coming in with all these fixtures, never playing in England, never really dealing with a lot of all-stars in a dressing room that are going to have to buy into this, like, work like a dog without the ball strategy, which is going to be controversial with this lot that we have at Manchester United.
You think?
Right? So, and then is he really backed? How much is he really backed? Can he come in with, you know what I'm saying? He's coming in as a 6 months interim. I'm sure there's a lot of other things planned that are behind the scenes we'll never hear about. But what he says, does it go? Because at the end of the day, how much of the players are going to take what he says serious if he's literally 6 months and then he's in this vague consultancy role? So the idea is, what is this club willing to do with Rangnick? And the answer is probably make him interim, see what happens, and then day late, dollar short FC react to it. So he could be sort of behind the eight ball a little bit if he wants to come in and be really intense and change everything, and he doesn't have the backing, right? So it's hard to know. United haven't even announced the deal is done. So I thought it would be worth to discuss sort of the glass half empty or sort of the headwinds he's coming into United with. And I thought Paul Merson, don't rate him very much, but they did discuss like, hey, what is this guy qualified to turn around Manchester United?
Talking of turning things around, that's what Manchester United are hoping their interim manager will do. Looks like it's going to be Ralph Rangnick, but the deal's not been done just yet. But Paul Merson, why do they need an interim manager?
Because they don't know what they're doing at the moment. In my opinion, I think Solskjaer would have been at the club still today if it probably wasn't for two goals in the last minute against Watford. And I don't think there was any plan. I just didn't think they thought that in their wildest dreams that it was going to end up at Watford. I think at 2-1, I personally think he's still in charge come what Sunday. I really do. I think they were going to keep it as long as they could. Now they haven't. I mean, for me, to bring in a manager, and I know I'm hearing great words. I'm hearing people going, how great he is, how great. He's never managed in England. Never managed one of the top teams in the world. You know, why is that? That's what I want to know. Why is no one else coming for him when managers have been up, you know? And that's what I always look at. You know, I hear great things about him. He's saying he's going to press and he's hard work and he's turned lesser teams into real, real contenders. That's a lot different. Mm. That's a lot different getting a Schalke or a Hoffenheim, someone like that, and getting them to a certain stage. Mm. When you're asked to go to one of the biggest clubs in the world, and they've already got superstars already, and you've got to make them play. It's all right at Schalke and Hoffenheim because they're going to listen and they want to get there. These players are there, and you've got to get them to go again. I think this is going to be difficult. I think this is going to be a lot harder than what people think. You know, what I'm hearing, it's like a give me. It's like, you'll come in and that'll be it. Arsenal, Man United are lucky. I ain't sure about that. You know, you don't start getting beat. You know, forget, Man City was embarrassing. Liverpool was bad, but it wasn't as bad as Man City. And then Watford was an absolute joke. So, you know, at the end of the day, you can all, everybody, we can all go, oh, Solskjaer, but it's the players who cross the line. They got to turn up and play the game, Jeff. It don't, you know, don't matter who's. You could have Pep Guardiola on the bench sitting next to Arsene Wenger, Klopp, and Tuchel.
No, he obviously is. He's just like a lot of word salad there. But it, saying what is true, the play. I mean, like, if he comes in and say, "Hey, everybody, we got to start working harder and playing this way," the dressing room is probably the highest. The dressing room is the biggest issue, probably. Right.
Well, you look at those stats. I mean, before we even went to Paul Merson blabbing. You know, look at the stats. You're talking about, oh, come in, can't take over a club like Manchester United. So look where we're at. We're at the bottom of the league in terms of, like, tackles, pressures, all these things that are leading to us being eighth in the league. So, yeah, you're right, but the bar is so low right now in terms of how bad we're playing that, like, I think he'll at least get us to play a little bit better. He's not going to be the be-all, end-all because, like I said, one good decision doesn't mean you're going to make subsequent great decisions. As it comes forward, he comes in, tells you what he needs to do, and you say, oh, fuck that, we're not going to do that. So it don't matter for nothing unless you actually follow through and, like, go all in with the Rangnick approach. So, like, I hear what Merson says. He's not wrong. Because this right now is a double black diamond job. Whoever comes in.
Well, I thought the point that basically we had no plan and then, like, kind of stumbled into him.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to hire him, why even make him interim? Why, you know, why don't you just make him the manager? That's another, like, sir, what do you think about him? Just why even make him this guy interim manager? Why don't you just make him manager of Manchester United?
Because he's probably better at DOF. Because if you look at his CV, the best things he's done, including at RB, was as a DOF.
But you know that if he plays well, they're going to give him another year, and then
that's
maybe
where
move
we'll fuck
to,
it up. Exactly. Sir. Yes, it's like really what he should do
there
is what you said is come in, get in the squad, and be like, damn, we got to fix this, and this. Yeah. These players suck. These players are great. This academy players are the shit. Double down here, XYZ. Instead, he'll get us in top four, a sniff at other silverware. They're like, give him a 3-year deal. Give him a 3-year deal. Murtaugh's in charge, but this guy's our manager. He should be like, no, I'm going to help you guys pick a manager because he's going on 64, and we need a manager who's youngish. Right, he should be the godfather in the top, but he should help us appoint the manager. But you know they're gonna just go haul hog.
But there is a component of what he does and like what he's successful at. He's successful over 7 years, like a long period of time, being able to make all the decisions, bringing in young players who are unproven, who need to work hard, who buy into his system. That is not what we are right now. Cavani, Ronaldo, Matic, think of the players that are older. The player, like, can't, you know what I'm saying? He's playing 23-year-old, 24-year-old unproven players who are going to be bought for a lot of money. Like, so the idea that 6 months is enough to do what he does best is, again, sort of a Manchester United decision-making process. You back the guy with no CV for a long period of time. The guy that has the CV, you don't give enough time. LVG doesn't know what he's doing. You give him all the money. Mourinho needs the money. You don't back him. So
he's probably
going to
fuck this up. We're probably going to bottle this.
I'm not trying to... The whole idea is, like, there is a hype train that is everything United. We sign Ronaldo, winning the title, winning everything. We get Rangnick. Oh, everything's going to be fixed. Everything's going to be fixed. And then reality kind of smacks you in the mouth. I'm just trying to say what he's been good at is over the long term, giving a lot of decision-making and building young teams that buy in. And he has a short-term, old all-star dressing room. He's got to get buy-in to something. So how much is he going to compromise? I think he'll do well, sir. I think it's set up. More importantly, the fixtures are set up where it's going to be kind to him. It's going to be a nice patch. He'll be able to get some momentum. Hopefully that will get players to buy in. He's going to make some controversial decisions, as all managers do, dressing room politics, etc. He'll pick his players. And then the real question is, United are not going to buy him anyone in January and then the summer, and most likely we'll see him make top four and then get that extension, or he'll crater and United will just move on to the next manager, maybe Pochettino. If he doesn't win the Champions League with PSG, who knows? I'm just saying, maybe you deserve to just be the manager. You're going to go with Rangnick. It seems like a long-term plan, not like a short-term 6 month and then vague consultancy role.
And one of the things, like, if you read about the man, which I know a lot of us have, and, you know, Manchester United fans, American Red Devil hosts, we've done a lot of reading about him. One of the things he likes to do is he likes to appoint elite people in all positions as it relates to the footballing matters of this club, from top to bottom. Literally from like physios to data to everyone the best of the best. And that is antithetical to how this footballing team is run currently by the Glazers. So like, yeah, it sounds like a great idea in practice. Oh, Rangnick. We're going full in Rangnick. He did with RB. We basically need that. We need a full overhaul. Full overhaul, top to bottom. So if we're doing that, it's great. But if they only go half the way, just like you can't half press. You can't be half pregnant. You can't go half Rangnick. If we go
exactly,
half
that's
Nick,
all I'm saying.
This will
like,
fucking crater. But if they go all the way, this will be a this actually would be a great success. But
yeah, but the odds
it will
are
take
we
five
won't.
Years. It will
the,
take, no, no,
the
we
odds, won't. The odds are we will not meet him, and like just because of the board, and we've seen that happen. So until the board, you know, starts putting people out to communicate with the fans, until the board starts changing things, until they get rid of Ed Woodward, and still until they commit to change, sir, I will not believe it. Just call me a skeptic here, but fool me once with the Glazers, sir. It's been so many times. A decade of mediocrity under Ed Woodward, and he doesn't want to leave because he thinks he's doing such a great job. Makes no who resigns and stays for another year and then extends that. That makes no sense. That to me is the most outlandish thing I've ever heard. No one talks about that. I mean, like, no, the only person that thinks he's done a good job are the Glazers and then Ed Woodward himself, because across the press, everyone is just like, he is horrible. Probably the worst chief executive in the Premier League, honestly.
Dude, he's the worst chief executive in sport, arguably. And that tells you we're not a real football. We're not a real company. Like, yeah, forget football. Company, like LLC, bro, or an Inc. I don't even know what we are. You know what I mean? It's like we're not, dude. Like a real company, like you said. The CEO resigns in shame. He leaves. He doesn't just like hang around for another year.
Down, hey, Captain went down with the Titanic, sir. That honorable man. You know, at the end of the day, like when it comes to Manchester United, it's this bottom up, top down, where it's like another manager coming in that we're going to get excited about. Like I was excited about Mourinho coming in. He had his moments and then the board hamstrung him. You know, and Rangnick's coming in, and then I'm excited bottom up, and then you have to worry about the board screwing the pooch. That's just the way it is at Manchester United, and until the Glazers leave, it will always be like that, sir. You know, one day we can hope to have the podcast make $4 billion so we can afford Manchester United, sir. We shall see. Let's jump into fan questions. At United, Dondo, quote, they dominated possession, but our center backs held strong and stopped a lot of good balls they put in. That's a good point. Lindelof Bailly did look good. Bailly looked great as well. Normally happy with a point there, but that penalty was a tough one. Good goal for Sancho. Thanks, Carrick, for not losing these games. Big one for Michael Carrick, even though I slated him for the lineup. Bring on Rangnick, and let's see how he changes us. So I am optimistic about Rangnick. I just, that board I don't like. At Jared United, quote, 1-1 away at the bridge with the interim. I'll take that all day long. I mean, I will as well. Not enjoyable to watch, but I'm feeling positive. Dare we hope for a bright future. Cautious optimism. I like that. You know, I just hope to see good football. Because, like you said, sir, this year has been, like, it's been a tough watch.
Bro, I ain't even December yet.
They're
just starting to play holiday music, bro. I haven't even got my Christmas tree yet. I'm getting it today. It's like,
how many players you got to get rid of this team to make them
10
to work hard?
10. You need like 6 new signings, or it's going to take years. But if they're going all in, I'm in, dude. I'm in for low, slow. I don't care if it takes it as long as we actually listen to the man. But like you said, can't go half pregnant, can't go half Rangnick. Will they go half Rangnick? Probably. The board's going to bottle it. Sorry, they will.
They're going to give him the deal. Like,
no, of course. They're going to like, give him five years.
No, honestly,
64 years
I
old.
Actually, so I actually think he'll do great.
Yeah.
And they'll give him, it'll be like, he's interim. Potch wants a job. And then it'll be usually like, you know, like just Potch just never gets the job. And then like Rangnick is like, that's the whole point, is just make him your manager. This interim thing, I just really disagree with
it. He should be DOF.
It.
The whole point is he's really good at DOF.
No, you make him the manager and then be like, all right, Rangnick decided that we should hire Pochettino and he wants to become the head of sport, you know, or whatever.
Right,
like,
right. Like you want his blessing.
But you make him the manager now and you figure everything else out.
But he
later.
Is the manager. He's the interim manager.
But the concept of interim manager
so
is the
I have
dumbest
no idea what
ever.
That even means.
Aston Villa does not have an interim manager. They had one manager, they have another manager. Aston Villa, sir.
They also moved faster than we did, sir.
Yeah, quote. At you, Boston, quote, we played miles better than I thought we would. Happy for Sancho, happy for Lindelof, then bye on to Arsenal, and hopefully a long streak of W's, sir. You didn't see it, but I benched Maguire in my back, too. I think you go with Lindelof and bye. They look good. You got to stay with him. Maguire's been utterly horrid, sir.
He needed a rest. Bailly looked great today. He always turns up against the Chelsea side. He was great.
Great defender.
He is, dude, on his day, you know, he always gets injured. I mean, the problem with Bailly is the injuries. Hopefully he can string together a couple of results. We're going to need him. You know, we need center backs fit and firing. So a big game against the Gunners on Thursday, dude. They're there for the taking. We just have to play with some fucking attacking intent and go for it.
At Jer_Young93, quote, much needed point. Chelsea outplayed us. They definitely did. I think we've been outplayed by... I think we've been outplayed by pretty much every team other than Leeds to open the season. I mean, honestly, like, we've been playing from the bottom the whole time. And also to dispel the Ronaldo Rangnick thing, I think Ronaldo's going to do great. If you watch his pressing system, Ronaldo gets to decide kind of where the buildup goes, and then everyone's got to do the hard work from there. I think Fred will excel.
No, Fred's going to be
Fred's
good.
Fred's going to do great. McTominay, Donny. Like,
Sancho.
Rashford as well. I honestly think that there's a lot of good players for his style of play, and it's just going to take time. So again, I am excited. Cautious optimism, sir. But again, just like the Ronaldo signing, you just got getting a guy in and then like having it work out is a whole another story when it relates to the footballing gods. So they're cruel.
No doubt, dude. It's one thing to make one good decision, but you have to make subsequent decisions that are also good.
That's a great point.
It's like you just like Rangnick's one thing, but there's gonna be a lot behind the scene to make Rangnick successful. And hey, we're all rooting for Rangnick.
It's like the broken clock is right twice a day, right? It's like the Glazers are like the broken clock's right twice a day. It's just like keep backing Ole for no reason, and then like somehow get Rangnick. It's like, all right, we'll take it. Look, that's the podcast, sort of a Rangnick takeover pod / interim Chelsea point / Arsenal on Thursday. Lots going on at Manchester United at the moment. You like the American Red Devils, check us out on Patreon. www.patreon.com/AmericaDevils. Please support us there. It goes a long way to keeping the lights on this small-time operation. Again, no sponsors. We just do this for the love of the game, and we are supported directly by you, sir. We are leaving money on the table. We've been reached out to by all the advertisers you are sick of hearing on other podcasts, and we just want to do it the fan support because it's not our full-time gig, and we think direct fan support is the way to go. Also, check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. Cyber Monday will be 25% off everything. Again, anything you buy directly benefits us, and you get some cool merch. Great way to support us. Write a review on iTunes. We will ship free merch around the world.
Reviews is
how we get found. Thank you to everyone who's written a review. Write it again. Rate it again. It helps the algorithm. We have no idea how that works, but it does help it. Sir, give us our top 10 cities last 7 days.
Sir, number one, you knew they're not going anywhere. The Norwegians, they're a loyal bunch. Number one, how you doing? Raufoss, Norway. Allison Park, PA. Fishers, Indiana. Tracy, California. Lillehammer, Norway. Balham, United Kingdom. How are you? Brooklyn, New York. Stillwater, Oklahoma. Columbus, OH. And then New Braunfels, Texas. Appreciate you. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. Happy Thanksgiving to
all
y'all.
What a draw. Sir. Yeah. First things first, we hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Great weekend. I mean, big point. We didn't get embarrassed. I mean, like, there are, like, sir, glass half full, Rangnick coming in. You know, just a lot going on with this team at the moment. You just got to kind of try to view it from all angles because at the end of the day, it's like what we're seeing out there, that Modric, McTominay, Fred midfield, it's like, oh my God, please help us.
Sir, this guy that's coming in is an expert at turnaround clubs that like just are fighting in the second division on the way up. We're basically a team like that with like a Ronaldo, Rashford sprinkled in, sir. We need a overhaul. So he's had some miracle jobs before, but the people that have been appointing him have been smart enough to listen. If they listen to this man, he has it. It will take time, but he has it.
All right, we'll catch you on Thursday night for a recap of the Gunners. We're going to leave you with Glory, Glory, Man United. Great song, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Just kidding. Stratford and Rising.